Good evening and welcome to Transition Talk, where we have real conversations that transform lives. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is my wife, Brenda.
Good evening. Good evening. We're so glad that we're back again. We've been on a hiatus for our anniversary. It's been 30 years.
Yes, 30 years.
30 years. So we took some time off and we did some traveling and we spent some time together, but we're back and we're ready to be with you guys. We missed you guys.
Yes, we did. And you know, after 30 years of marriage, we needed some time for us, as well as, you know, transitioning into new businesses for us.
Yeah,
and everything. So it's been a busy month.
So our series this month, we'll be talking about how to build a long-lasting relationship. And I think after 30 years, we have some expertise to the subject. What do you think?
I think that we can give a little bit of nuggets here and there.
I think we have some strategies.
I think that through our relationship that we're able to share some of the things that worked for us in our relationship.
And you know, when I thought about this title, we thought about the title, that word long-lasting.
Yes.
Might be a trigger to most people because most people do not see themselves or hard to see themselves in a relationship that could go on for 30 years.
I'm telling you, some people, listen, this is where I'm stepping red. I really couldn't see myself in a long-lasting relationship.
I know.
And she knows this. I mean, staying with one person your whole life, that seems so unrealistic.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that when you find the right person, when you get with someone that you truly enjoy being with, not just being with them and tolerating them, you can really see that 30 years don't seem like 30 years.
It goes by quick. When you find your soulmate or the person you're supposed to be with, that long lasting won't scare you.
That's the word.
That long lasting won't scare you.
A lot of people afraid, I think. A lot of people are afraid of.
Yeah. I had a young lady I was told about, we married 30 years. She said, oh my God, you could have went to prison and back by that time. And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that kind of response when it comes to, but I think based on people's experiences, some people have been through hurt.
Yes.
And you can't really see a relationship going on that long.
Right.
It's just something you haven't had that experience with. Some people are fearful of long-lasting relationships because, you know, it's just something that you just don't think is doable. Some people don't believe in long-lasting relationships.
And you,
they're just being honest with
you, right?
With the subject, and they just don't see themselves being with one person for that long period of time.
You know, you have to come into a mindset when you're looking to be with someone for a long time. Because you're right, babe, some people just in a relationship for a temporary thing.
Yeah.
Or they might just be in it for, you know, a duration of time and move along.
Yeah.
But if you're really looking at trying to be with someone for a long time, or you want a relationship that lasts, you know, you got to have the mindset first to come in saying, you know, I want something that's stable.
Stable is a good word.
You want something that's stable. And I don't mean just be with cause of stable, but you want to be with someone that you really care about.
Yeah.
And you can have a stable relationship. That stable don't mean everything will be good all the time.
Not perfect. Exactly.
And I think that's one of the key things. People want to come in a relationship thinking that everything is going to be bed of roses all the time.
Yeah.
But you got to find that median, that stability. Take the highs with the lows, and then the relationship will work its way through.
You know, that sturdiness is what you're talking about. What we need is gonna stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And sometimes in relationships, some things may not be sturdy. It may feel like it's uneasy. And be honest with you, nobody really don't know but you.
Yeah.
Looking out, we don't know it's not sturdy, but you don't throw like a piece of furniture away because you got a flaw on it. Oh, you see something that's not perfect,
right.
You can use it. And same thing with relationships. If you have a relationship, you have flaws, you have things that's not right, But you don't throw the whole relationship away because of one flaw or one thing that goes wrong. And I think that's what we need to emphasize tonight. Because some people feels like when you, or some of us feel like when you find something that's wrong, or you find something that's not going the way you thought it would, is to throw the whole relationship away.
Yes.
You cannot do that. Stability is what we're talking about. Something that's sturdy. It may not be perfect, but it's stable.
And you know, after you invest some time, that's the thing. If you invested some time into a relationship, you really need to think about it before you throw it out.
And you will, because your time is valuable.
Money, listen, just like anything, marriage is all about investment. And if you invest a lot of time in your life into a relationship, you need to really think about, do I really want to move on to something when I know what I have, but I know what I'm getting.
Oh my goodness.
And that's a big thing. You know, you can say, hey, I've been in this relationship for 5 years. 7 years, and some say 10 years, and you might say, listen,
I already know what you don't
like. I'm done with that, but listen, I know what she's like.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm getting.
You don't know what
you're getting. Sometimes it's best to keep what you have.
All right, I hear you. So I guess he's not looking, praise God.
Huh? Looking for what?
Did he get quiet on me? You said stay with what you have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to move on in Jesus' name. So tonight we want to kind of break it down to some key tools that you need in a relationship to be long lasting, okay?
Yes.
To try to, you know, pipe down some of the fear that you may have.
Yes, yes.
So the one thing you need to know, we're talking about tonight, you need to know your partner's love language.
Yes, love
language. Did you know your partner had a love language?
Love language.
Your partner has a love language.
Yes,
yep,
we do.
Okay. Go ahead, man. Let you talk. Go ahead.
We do have a love language. And, you know, everybody needs to take the time to learn their partner's love language.
It takes time to learn.
It takes time.
And it will pay off to learn your partner's love language. And the reason why we need to do that, because sometimes you can be in a relationship with different people.
Yes.
And you try to do what you did with the last person.
Uh-oh.
You can't do that when you're with your partner. You have to learn what your partner is saying to you and how you want to give the love to your partner. So the definition of a love language is, you have something to say?
No, go ahead, thank you.
Okay. The definition of love language is how you give and how you receive love.
Yes.
Because some people will find different things interesting or fulfilling to show them love.
Right.
And everybody don't love the same way.
That's
everybody
true.
Don't speak the same way.
Right.
And so we have to take time to learn the love language of your partner.
And that's true, but it takes time. And like Bae said, it takes time to learn your partner's love language. And that's not just in conversation, but to know them as a person. Because the more you understand them as a person, the better you understand their language and how to be able to relate with them and communicate with them in a way that will build a long-lasting relationship.
Exactly.
Yes.
And many times people say, he don't love me, or he don't know what I like,
yes,
or he don't know what I want. And as women, sometimes we kind of expect for them to know, a man to know what we want and what we like. But you have to be able to articulate,
yes,
or be able to explain and tell your partner what you like and what you don't like. And so a starting point is to learn about the love language.
Yes.
There are five love languages.
Yes.
And we're going to break them down tonight, and you can put yourself in one of these categories. And I found myself in the categories, so I'm pretty sure you'll find yourself tonight in one as well, okay? So we're going to talk about five love languages.
Yes.
Which one are you going to go first, baby?
Well, you have word of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Yes.
Some people like to be told sweet things about themselves.
Whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
Sweet nothings in your ear.
Like to hear something nice. Want to be able to hear some good things, or, you know, maybe how you look, or maybe, you know, what you have done. You know, sometimes just saying, and it's a small thing, at least with guys, sometimes just saying, babe, you did a good job. You know, or babe, I appreciate you doing that.
Maybe you did a good job.
What I did a good job on?
You're doing a good job right now.
Doing what?
Talking.
Thank you. I appreciate those words of affirmation.
Go on, sorry. Go ahead.
So sometimes just those little words will make you feel, make your spouse feel good about themselves or feel good, you know, in the relationship. Because sometimes it ain't about just being able to be big things. It just could be those words of affirmation. Yes.
And you got to know what's worked for you. And yes. And for me, that works for me as well. Words of affirmation does it for me.
Yes.
When you tell me I look good in my outfit or my clothes, that makes me feel good.
You look good right now, that orange girl.
Okay, then. Thank you.
I'm telling you, it brings out your skin tone.
Thank you. So you need to know what to say to your partner.
Yes.
One thing, and then you also have to be careful on when you give compliments or when you give critical suggestions, right? Okay. And it comes out when you maybe you have a dress on, maybe you doesn't compliment you very well. So if you have a partner that really feeds off of words of affirmation,
right?
Be careful when you tell that person how they look when you don't like what they look.
Uh-oh.
Because if that's what my love language is words of affirmation, when you give me those criticisms, it has to be done very gently.
Mm.
Very gently.
I always tell you you look good, though, right?
But no, I'm talking, there's some you tell me that I don't like that dress, too.
Oh, there's be sometimes I tell you that?
You tell me you don't like that dress.
I do. Do I do it in a good way?
You do. That's why I say you gotta be careful on how you say it.
I do it in a good way, then.
You gotta be careful. When you have a partner that feeds off of words of affirmation, you should be able to be careful when you give them those criticisms or give them suggestions.
Yes.
Because it kind of goes to the heart what you say. So words of affirmation is very important. Compliments, encouragement, those are things that are very important to people that have words of affirmation
yes.
as a love language.
What's the next one?
Well, my love language was, another one was spending quality time.
Mm.
Regardless of what we're doing, and you know, right now our schedule is very busy.
Yes.
I'm moving into entrepreneurship, and I'm really spending a lot of time at my job, at the school, so I'm doing a lot of work.
Yes.
But I cannot neglect spending time with my spouse, because I know that is one of the most, he is the most important thing right now in my life, more so than my job or anything else. He is important to me, so we have to spend time together as far as date nights, taking walks.
Yes.
Or when I walk in the house, although I'm exhausted, just giving some time to talk about my day and what's going on with me and what's going on with you.
She does.
I do.
Yeah.
I try to as much as I can. Because quality time is important, and it, maybe not for everybody, but when you know that your spouse loves quality time, you should try to make that time for your spouse. And I know people are business executives or have different jobs. They're in the church. We have a lot of things going on in our churches. We're doing a lot of things. But you have to spend time with your spouse. And you cannot be on every board in the church.
Uh-oh.
You know, you're doing everything in the church. You don't have no time to be home with your children, no time to be home with your spouse. You are neglecting your spouse, because it's important that you speak to him, not only just in words, but also in deeds. So when you're spending time with them, that's speaking in deeds. I value you. I want to be around you. I feel supportive around you. So you have to make time. You can't be on every board, sometimes every church.
You know, babe, you brought up a good point when you said church.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from me.
That's just our experience.
Yeah, that's our experience. And being an elder in the church, have been a pastor in the church, and have ministered in church, you're having a family, you know, sometimes you can get caught up more in the church and the church business than you can in your relationship.
That's good.
And sometimes we think church means God. You put God first, but not church before your family.
That's good.
And a lot of people in church, I'm saying people in position in church, they find themselves neglecting their relationship and being on those boards, going to church, going to every event, going to every function the church puts on, and then the family is being neglected. Your spouse is being neglected. And there's nothing more, you know, and I guess more prevalent is that you're going to church, both of you going to church, but when you go home, you don't have no time together, no quality time.
That's good.
And that can really damper a relationship between spouses or between man and woman, because, you know, church should not be your only life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You, it shouldn't be your only life. And a lot of people
have in common.
Right. If that's one thing you got in common, a relationship, then that's going to fizzle out. You got to find more than just, well, we go to church together and we go out and eat dinner on Sunday after church. Or, you know, we go to every function in church together. But what do you do outside of church?
Yeah. You have to be mindful of and be cognizant of when the line should be drawn.
Yes.
Because you can be pulled in because our heart really want to do as much as I can for God. You know, I really love God. And when I was single, listen, I was doing that. I did everything, every function we had to do. I had nothing holding me back. I would do that. But when once you become in a relationship with someone,
yes,
you got to be mindful of when you're drawing the line of when there's too much time away. And that we need to spend more time together. So if you're going to build a long-lasting relationship, you have to know, you have to spend quality time. You have to know when to stop, let the world, you know, keep the world out of the door, and just me and you together, and we're doing something with each other. And so that's really a key point of keeping a long-lasting relationship.
Yes. And I know with my wife, I know that quality time is a big thing with my wife and our relationship, and you have to make a cautious effort to make sure you spend quality time with your mate. And what I mean by that, there might be things that you do throughout the day, not just like going to church, but even after you get out from work, you got to make sure you spend time together.
Yeah.
You know, conversating how her day was, you know, how things went on the job or in the business. Or like she said, sometimes just being able to go and walk through the neighborhood or do a walk in the park. That is all quality time.
Yeah.
Because quality time leads to my next one, which can build physical touch.
Oh, okay. Quality time leads to physical touch.
It can build to that.
Okay, then go ahead and explain.
If you do quality time and you spend quality time with your mate, and the reason I say physical touch because that's one of the top ones for men as it comes for body language, a love language. So love language for men, the main one is physical touch. But the thing is that if you take the time to spend quality time with your mate, the physical touch should become automatic, or it comes just, you know, not something you have to do. It's just something that comes without even thinking about it.
So you're trying to say that quality time is like a foreplay.
In some relationships, it can be seen as that.
It's exactly what it is.
Because, listen, you can't just go in and expect to hit a home run every time. You got to be able... You got to be able to run the bases.
Okay. Run the bases.
Or you got to be able to, you know, take time and, as we say, courtship.
Courtship. That's important.
Courtship. Because, and that's another thing I say, that in keeping a long-lasting relationship, you got to be able to continue courtship. Mm-hmm. Courtship is a big thing. Sometimes we get into a long relationship and we forget about the courtship piece.
And you talking about them running the bases. Running the bases starts off in the morning when you get up in the morning. You greet somebody in the morning.
Yes.
Good morning. How are you? This is speaking to a person throughout the day.
Yes.
Or being with them throughout the day. Helping throughout the day. Talking with throughout the day.
Yes.
You know, not starting your day off angry and think at the end of the day, you're going to run all three bases.
And then we'll go to the home run.
They want to go straight to the home run.
Oh, Lord, it ain't going to work.
Haven't even said good morning.
You're going to strike out every time.
Haven't even said, can I help you with this? Can I take the trash out for you? You just want to run straight from
home plate and come back around and go again.
They run from home plate straight and back. Like, okay. But I think the it would be more satisfying when you start off your day being sweet.
You're right.
Start off your day being considerate. Start your day being thoughtful of your spouse, and then it won't be so hard to get to third base.
And make it home.
And,
you know, I gotta say this. You know, this is something that, you know, that my wife and I, we've been doing for years, and I don't even think she noticed this.
What we've been doing?
Every year, every morning before we start our day, if I'm asleep, if I leave before she does, or if she leave before I do, we always make a point that she'll kiss me on my forehead if I'm asleep, or I kiss on her forehead, and I say, have a good day, and then we say we love each other.
Yeah.
That's been one of our trends.
That's first base.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes natural. I feel like I missed something. If I go halfway down the stairs, and I come back up the stairs, or if I walk out the door, or walk out the bedroom door, I would come back and say a kiss on, even though she might be knocked out asleep, or, you know, I make a point to say kiss on the forehead and said, I'm gone, love you. And she does the same thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes, that's what I said, it just comes automatic. And if you do it, you know, do it repetitively, you know, it's just something that you just come natural doing.
Yeah, it's something small as that.
Yeah, small. We do that.
Just trying those little things of just, you know, showing the person, I woke up this morning, I acknowledge you, I love you, and I'll see you the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That's something to build the rest of your day that they can end off on a good note.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be able to. She's a businesswoman now, so she stayed busy quite a bit. I used to be able to call her around lunchtime, around 1 o'clock, and we, you know, ask her a day going. Now I call her phone. She ain't got time to answer. Because she's a businesswoman. But I usually try to make
it respond.
Yeah, sometimes.
Eventually.
Or I text her now.
Eventually,
but
I respond.
You know, I say that because this is all about, like I said, being able to get to that part, like we said, physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you have to build to that. And throughout the day, being able to make that conversation or, you know, reach out to each other makes it a whole lot more, should I say, natural when it comes to physical touch.
Exactly. And that's good. That's good. We have to really just being acknowledging your spouse's feelings is just very important. You know, when you're in a long-lasting relationship, it's more than you have to think about. And when you just start thinking about, you know, how would I feel?
Yes.
Or you know, if I was in, you know, what do I want? So whatever you want done to you, you should try to do it as unto your spouse, because that's what you want to receive. So I think that something as small, like you say, acknowledging them throughout the day is something great to do. Now, another love language, and I don't know if some women, this is a woman's love language. I don't know why, but it is. Receiving gifts.
Yes.
Men, women love to receive gifts. Now, every woman is not like that. You need to find out about your spouse.
Yes.
But women love to receive gifts. They love to be, you know, given flowers, you know, send candy, something that you thought about them for throughout the day, just something that you give them. They like money.
Yes.
We like clothes. We love a lot. Women just love gifts. If you just show me you thought about me was good. You picked up some flowers in the front yard and brought it to me. Just something you brought to me to show me I thought about you today. And the gifts might be on different levels.
Yes.
You know, we couldn't afford anything. Just giving me the Snicker bar I like, you know, was something I like, okay? Now you can send me something from, what you send me again from another day? From,
what's that?
Coons? Flowers?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was something that was sent to me. That's another level of just sending something to you to show that I love you. I'm thinking about you. But it's nothing that no matter no big or small it is, show love in giving. Give them something.
And make sure you know what they like receiving.
Exactly.
You want to get them something that they want to appreciate now.
Yes.
Because if you get them something and, you know, you just figuring that's something that you want to give them.
Yes.
You know, then you might feel like, okay, you know, they didn't seem like they appreciate it, but give them something they like. I know my wife, she loves flowers. I found out she loves flowers.
I love receiving flowers.
So I give her flowers.
Yes.
But one thing I know that I used to try to buy her clothes, and the clothes don't work. It might be something that I like, but it might not be something she like. So I'm not going to go and go buy her.
I appreciate the thought.
And she tells me that. She said, I appreciate the thought. And she said, oh, that's so nice. But guess what? I never see it. I never see it. So
you never see the clothes I hang it in the closet.
But I never see it on.
Sometimes. But yeah, just showing that I appreciate him shopping for me. I appreciate you going out doing for me or thinking about me. But like you said, you gotta know the person's style, you gotta know what they like.
Yes.
But I love it. I like what you get me, man.
Oh yeah, you always appreciate it. So she never don't appreciate it. But you have to know what really they like, or really, you know, the gifts they really enjoy. So.
Exactly. Our last one tonight is acts of service.
Yes.
And that is big when it comes to women as well. You know, understanding my love language, and when you help me, acts of service is helping me. If I need your help, you know, you're there to help me. If I don't, you know, if I need the trash taken out, you're here taking trash out for me. Or whatever I need, you're there to lend a helping hand. So acts of service is a big thing for me as well. I don't know about men, but I know women really love somebody to help me do what I need to do. Take the burden off of me a little bit.
Yeah, and like the service, I mean, even for men, we value that. But I think you said more women value more than being able to help them or support them in what they're doing. And I think when you begin to support them, whatever it is, like you said, not just taking out the trash, but I use myself for example, even just cleaning the house.
Oh my Lord.
You know, some men might not clean the house, but sometimes I use as therapy. I can go through and clean the house, and then she comes home, she smells the house smelling clean.
You on third base by
I'm ready to knock a home run by them. But if I know if I got this house clean from the top to the bottom, the floors are the floors are speaking span, the house smelling good, I'm already made third base and the sun's still up.
That's a good love thing. Oh, yeah, walking and smelling pine sol and everything in the house. That's
Febreze and everything.
You talking some love language then.
So this is our start. We want to be able to, for the next couple of episodes, we want to be talking about
some nuggets. Some
nuggets, suggestions. Building on long-lasting relationships plus 30.
Yeah, and it's important to know what your spouse like.
Yes.
And so if you haven't done it as of yet, after listening to us tonight,
yes,
have a discussion with your spouse. What is your love language?
Yes.
Find out what they like. Do they like quality time? Do they like words of affirmation? Do they like acts of service? You need to find out what their love language is. And then find out, can you do it? Can you fulfill that love language?
Yes.
So if you haven't done it, before we meet next week, find out your spouse or your friends or your partner's love language, because that's going to help build a long-lasting relationship.
Plus 30.
Plus 30. right these days, plus 5. Or plus 2.
So we thank you. We hope that you enjoy. Continue to tune in on us on YouTube as well as on our Facebook page, and we also have it on Spotify. And don't forget that we also have our Transformation Bible Study on Thursday night at 7.
So. And if you haven't done so, go ahead and subscribe to our page.
Yes.
Especially through this series. You and your partner get together and subscribe. These 30 years benefit somebody.
Yeah.
It benefit us.
It benefited me.
So until next time, we love you and we'll look to see you next time on Transition Talk.
And remember, a blessed mindset
is a kingdom mindset.
There you go. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
In Jesus' name. We'll be right back.